At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We are going to preview one game that is left on the board tonight: Pelicans-Bucks. Pelicans back-to-back after a loss to the Heat. They are on a back-to-back. And then the Bucks, meanwhile, they're on a three-game win streak. Surprising to say, of course, like I mentioned, I get sick. Bucks are now winning. They're decent. Nonetheless, right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're -8.5 to beat the Pelicans. And the total is 241.5. High total there. But the Bucks can score, and so can the Pelicans. We were talking about that earlier in the show.
Yeah, and these teams met already this year, Aaron. And it was one of the first times we were like, what the heck's wrong with Milwaukee? They lost that game 131-126 in New Orleans. At one point, we're down 29 points to the New Orleans Pelicans. They won the second half by 18 and still lost the game by 5. I mean, the Pelicans rolled them comfortably. Now, we sit here with another total in the 240. The one thing that we have said a lot this year is typically these totals in the 240s actually tend to cash. They're that high for a reason. And when teams like this get together, they continue to push the pace. So 241.5, those numbers, again, typically are like, whoa, that's way too high. That's usually a green light to bet the overs. But as far as the side goes, Aaron, outside of me being horrified because you're back and clearly the Bucks can't play well when you are around, I have to lean towards Milwaukee. Laying 8.5 here, the Pelicans are on a back-to-back, and I feel like the FanDuel Sportsbook, if not all sportsbooks, are putting a little bit of juice behind when a team is on leg two of a back-to-back. That's exactly what we have here for the Pels. And they've lost their last two back-to-backs. Both times they were favored, and they lost both games to New Orleans Pelicans. So now here, even if it's 8.5, I'm surprised it's not double digits. And also, the Bucks have now laid double digits in three straight games. They've won all three. I get it. OKC, Sacramento, Minnesota, not great comp. But I still think that they can get the job done here tonight. So I'm leaning with the Milwaukee Bucks in this spot.
Yeah, and the Bucks are 10-6 against the spread when playing at home. Meanwhile, the Pelicans are 6-9 against the spread on the road. So just something to think about if you're trying to choose between picking the spread or going with the total. Kevin made a good point with going with the over, especially when you see it that high. You're expecting these teams to just continue to score, score, score. But nonetheless, let's get into some college basketball. So number 20 Arkansas beat number 6 Alabama 81-66, but it was not an upset as Razorbacks were 2-point home favorites. The only other top 25 team to lose was number 15 Virginia, falling 68-61 versus North Carolina State. I know you have a lot to talk about in terms of all these ranked games, Kevin, but you can just take it with right off the bat with one of the games you want to talk about.
Yeah, I'll start with Arkansas-Alabama because this is probably the most important result here. Truly validates everything that Arkansas has been doing. Get themselves inside now the top 20 entering this week. Play Alabama. And these teams met earlier in the year, Aaron, 90-59. Alabama won that game. So for Arkansas to come back, beat them by 15 in their own building and hold them in check to 66 points, a Bama team that had been averaging more than 85 a night over their last three. Very impressive win there for Arkansas, Aaron.
And welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Right now, we are talking about some college basketball. Anything else that you have to note, Kevin, on this Arkansas-Alabama game? Of course, Arkansas beating them 81-66. There was some revenge, as you just said, that Alabama had blown them out in the first game that they played each other in this season.
First of all, again, I'll reiterate here, just holding Alabama to 66 is impressive. But also, if I would have given you the Arkansas three-point shooting percentage, you would have thought, oh my goodness, they would have got ran out of the gym. They were 4-14 from three. I have to say, and I didn't get to have the closest eye on this game, but I got to think that Crimson Tide Twitter was not happy. Alabama as a team went 3 of 8 from the free throw line.
I'm sure they weren't.
They're never, I mean, who is? But Arkansas was 27 of 43 from the free throw line. 43 free throws for Arkansas. That is a ton. I know they were extending the game late, but still, that is a ton. Moses Moody, the star freshman for Arkansas, also stepped up in a big way, making 16 of his 19 free throws. I'll also quickly mention the game that you had talked about there with Virginia going down. The Cavs are struggling now. They've lost three straight games. FSU, okay, FSU, sweet, cool, no problem. Duke, oh boy, one-point game. Double-digit home favorite, NC State. It's an ugly loss for a Virginia squad that is now playing their worst basketball of the season. But honestly, I don't really care because we had the over in this game yesterday, Aaron. You had to, you had to know that we were betting an over here with a Virginia game, and it got there thanks to the foul game. The Wolfpack, NC State, I love it. That team 9-0 to the over on the road this year, Aaron.
Yeah, Kevin's really big, in case you haven't noticed, on taking the overs in games. It's always fun to take the overs, so I can't fault him. I can't fault you at all. But of the other games that are on the board, let's say Florida State beating Miami or even Creighton beating DePaul, any big takeaways from any of their games?
Yeah, Florida State looks awesome. We've talked about this team on the show, no doubt about it. A team that we might want to position ourselves on in the futures market, possibly. They're going to be inside the top 10 probably next week when we see these rankings, and they deserve it.
Yep, one other game was Tennessee beat Vanderbilt 70-58. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk some more college basketball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're going to talk about some college basketball that is happening tonight. So number 9, Iowa, is taking on number 3, Michigan. Michigan is currently favored -5.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total at 156. Now, Michigan is leading the Big Ten, coming in at a staggering 11-1 in Big Ten play, and their eyes are set on a title. They are 11-0 at home and on a 5-game win streak. A win for Michigan will cement their position with just Illinois left on the schedule among the league's contenders. Kevin, do you have a lean in this game, or do you think going with the total would be the play, considering, you know, Iowa is averaging 86.4 points per game, Michigan's averaging 79.2 points per game, but only allowing on average 66.2 points. So I don't know if you want to go with the total here or lay the points.
So this is an awesome game. The Hawkeyes are a very, very difficult team. They have a lot of non-believers. There's a lot of efficiency marks, though, that view Iowa as one of the best teams in the country. Ken Pom, very famous. They love the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Michigan Wolverines, though, are flying up the futures market. They are now closer to Gonzaga than they are the fourth choice in the futures market on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Here, I lean towards Michigan, but this number is coming up. It was 4.5 when I was looking at it last night. The number is already up to 5.5 here as we speak to you this morning, and I think it's going to continue to trend that way. I think Michigan in a money line parlay, if you're somebody that plays those, you know, you kind of look to pair a couple of favorites, but leave the points on the floor. I think Michigan could be a great first leg for you. I think as far as the total goes, Aaron, and I always get excited when I get to do this because I know it'll surprise you, I have to lean towards the under here. This is one of those things where a team's perception can be accurate, but from a betting perspective, it can be inaccurate. Iowa profiles, right, as this incredible over team, overs, because they can shoot the lights out. They score a ton. On this season, though, they're only 12-11 to the over because they've now gone under in five straight games. They've gone under in seven of their last nine games. They've gone under five of their eight road games. The numbers are so high. That's why Iowa can play to the unders. You're also dealing with a Michigan squad that has found themselves going under in seven of their, six of their last eight basketball games as well. It's 156. It's a massive number, Aaron. I have to admit, I'm a little scared by it. Michigan's last game looked like a Knicks Magic game. Like, it was very, very high scoring, 92-87. But I do believe that if you're going to play this total, the way to play these Iowa totals recently, Aaron, is to the under.
Yeah, and if you look on the FanDuel Sportsbook at all the totals posted for today, I mean, 156.5. That is a pretty high total, especially for a college basketball team. Another game on the board tonight is Nebraska versus number 5 Illinois. Right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Illinois is favored 14.5. But yesterday they were 17.5. So they're coming down a little bit. Maybe some people back in Nebraska here. The total for this game is set at 145.5. Now Nebraska is going to look to knock Illinois off. Nebraska is 5-15, 1-13 in Big Ten play. So not a great team. Meanwhile, Illinois saw its 7-game win streak snapped with a loss to Michigan State on Tuesday night. So, thoughts on this college basketball game, Kevin?
I'm actually really excited for this one because Illinois felt like a team that was going to be making this push. Could they catch Michigan? Could Ayo Dosunmu catch Garza for Player of the Year? And then they lose to Michigan State. And it's the first time they've lost in seven games. They've only lost six times all year long. But I went through some of their trends off of a loss, and we could be in a good spot here tonight with Illinois. The last time that they were off of a loss, they beat Penn State by 14 in the first half, covering that first half spread. So I think a first half spread, we don't have those accessible just yet, could be a nice way to play it. Ultimately, though, when Illinois loses, they respond with high-scoring games, and they specifically will be bringing their scoring shoes. Their team total for the game is 79.5. They've gone over in that four out of the five times they've played off a loss, averaging over 87 points per game in those games. And even that first half total, which with a little bit of self math, I think it's going to be anywhere between 37 and 39. They've scored 40 or better in four of the five games in the first half off of a loss. So I think that is another good way to play Illinois tonight. I think their team totals, first half and full game, is a nice play.
Interesting. Let's stick with the Big Ten. So number 4, Ohio State is playing against Michigan State. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ohio State is -4, and the total is at 145. So the total has dropped 2.5 points overnight, and also they were originally -4.5, so it's only dropped half a point. But the Buckeyes hit the road one final game during the regular season. They're coming off a loss to the Michigan Wolverines on Sunday. One thing that Ohio State has done following a loss this year is win the next game, and by an average of 16.5 points in those games. But before that loss, the Buckeyes had not lost for a month there. But just interesting things that are coming off a loss. Obviously, they're winning by double digits. Yeah. But the line is reflecting, obviously, that you know they're only favored -4. Do you think this could be a trap game for any reason?
So, ultimately, Michigan State is trying to fight for their NCAA tournament lives that got a massive kick in the pants due to their upset over Illinois. They're going to play Ohio State here, and then they have two more games against the Michigan Wolverines. If they win one of those games, a Big Ten tournament run could possibly give them a shot. If they win two out of those three games, I think they're absolutely going to be in. What's been changing a little bit for Michigan State, they've been playing in some of our high-scoring games. Their offense has looked a lot better in those prior two wins that they've now put on. They've played to three consecutive overs. I'm also looking at Ohio State's numbers here. They're 8-2 to the over on the road, 6-1-1 to the over in their last eight games. The first meeting between these squads, there was 141 points. They missed the pregame total of 142. We check in with a little bit higher of a number of 145.5, but I think it is justified with the way that these squads are playing. Of course, Aaron, at some point we were going to come across a game where I liked an over, and that's the spot here tonight with Ohio State and Michigan State.
Nice, nice. I feel like there's so many great games on the board.
It's a great, great slate tonight in college basketball.
Yeah, it really is. So we'll have a lot of good recaps, to talk about tomorrow. So I'm excited for that and to watch, of course, these games. Another game, I'm not sure if you're going to want to watch it, but Gonzaga is closing in on an undefeated season against Santa Clara. They're 22-0. Right now, they are favored on the FanDuel Sportsbook, -30.5, total at 155. I mean, could Gonzaga score the whole 155 points? I mean, I can't believe they're, you know, I'm not shocked, but 30.5 is what they're favored by. Do you think Santa Clara can cover?
Yeah, look, it's a ridiculous number, okay? It's a ridiculous number. With that being said, Gonzaga laid 33 in their last game, and they covered. I mean, this is what they do. They won that game by 37. And
they dominate.
They absolutely do. I think Gonzaga, it's one of those spots where what do you do with a team like this? You know, the other day, Aaron, you were
like, do you even touch this? Do you even want this in your money line parlay, though, because the odds are so bad?
Gosh,
do you just stay away from Gonzaga?
Oh, my gosh, no. Like, if you put together a parlay, right, and let's say it was paying plus 120 and you put Gonzaga in, it'd be like plus 121. I mean, it's such a waste of time. There's no reason to put it in there. People be like, oh, it's a free dollar. It's
Agreed.
Simply not worth it at all. I think as far as it goes, though, there's a lot of people, mid-major Matt Aaron, who we've talked to here on the show before, he loves playing Gonzaga first half overs, which makes sense because second half totals are shaded higher in college basketball because of the foul game. Gonzaga doesn't play in foul games, so I think it does make sense to play first half overs with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, another game on the board is number 19, USC, taking on Colorado. Right now, Colorado favored -2.5. Stick with us here, and we'll come back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh, and we're also bringing on George Kurtz right now to talk some hockey. So last night, the NHL, favorites went 4-3 with upsets by the Kings, Stars, and Wild. Unders went 4-3. Now, George, were you on any of these games last night?
Yeah, the wrong side of a bunch of them, too. So, it wasn't the greatest night. You mentioned upsets. When we see upsets, we have a problem here. I had the Avalanche. I almost had the Wild. I wish I had the Wild. Avalanche are not playing well. You know, for whatever reason, they were without Brandon Saad last night. But let's face it, Saad's a nice player. He's not McKinnon. He's not Rantanen. You know, and they both played. You know, McCarr's there. He's playing. So they're healthy, or as healthy as they're going to be. Saad missed the game because his wife was giving birth. Congratulations to the Saads. But he'll be back next game. But do you realize the Avalanche are in sixth place in their division? I bring this up because this is a Stanley Cup contender. Some people believe they're the best overall team in the NHL. I don't believe it. They're a top three, top four team. But they're in sixth place. At the season end of today, they don't make the playoffs. They got to get things turned around here. I thought they would do that against the Wild last night. The Wild are hot. If you believe in riding the hot team, the Wild are hot. Kakinen's in net, a rookie. He's playing well. And in the NHL, goaltending is everything.
Yeah. So let me ask you, when it comes to teams that are struggling, one of the big storylines, I think, in the NBA, George, teams that made the furthest runs, the conference final squads, the Lakers, the Heat, the Nuggets, and the Celtics, the Lakers kind of aside, three of those teams, though, kind of got off to slow starts. Do you feel like the teams that made the deeper runs in the postseason are off to any blips in the radar where you feel like that's why they might be struggling? They don't have their fresh legs?
Ordinarily, it's something where if you make deep runs a couple of seasons in a row, it's a problem, right? Because you played, remember in the NHL, same way in the NBA, you're playing four series. If it's going six, seven games, eight series, you do that over a couple of years, you've now played an extra season than other teams. The problem is this year's all screwed up. I mean, the NHL is much worse than the NBA. We've had so many cancellations. There's another cancellation tonight. Golden Knights and Sharks aren't going to play tonight because, the Sharks have had another outbreak. One player, Thomas Hertl, has tested positive for COVID. They canceled that game. We've seen so many of these. You look at the NHL standings. Look at the games played. 20, 21, 12, 13, 16. They're all over the place because of all these cancellations. So I think that's been a bigger problem than anything else, lack of practice time. Lack of continuity here. This season's a sprint, not a marathon in the NHL. Usually the NHL starts in October, doesn't end until June. It's the forever season. It just goes on and on and on. This year's not so much. It's going to start in January. It's going to end in 2 months. You know, the season's flying by here. I think that's causing all sorts of problems as trying to figure out who's legit, who's not legit. Why isn't a team playing well? Is it because of that lack of practice? Is it injuries? Are there other factors in here? Are they an older team that can't take playing on an every other day basis? And guys, this is only going to get worse, by the way, because these teams I mentioned have only played 14, 15 games. Sooner or later, they got to make this all up. You think of the Dallas Stars. Coming into the season, I was already worried about the Stars because of the condensed schedule. Well, they've got so many games to make up. This is an older team. We like the names, Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Klingberg, all the names we know. But when these games, four or five games at a six, 7 day, 8 day period, I don't know how these guys can survive.
And speaking of the COVID-19 issues, the Flyers are one team that had an outbreak within the last couple of weeks. And they're obviously, they struggled this past weekend when they played in Lake Tahoe, but they did beat the Rangers last night 4-3. Do you have any thoughts on the Flyers and how they're trying to kind of manage getting over that dealing with COVID issues?
Yeah, I hate the New York Rangers, all right? The New York Rangers are really, it's almost like, because I'm an Islander fan, they were looking to nail me all season long. Now, I bet against the Flyers last night because of what you said. They did get Giroux back last night, but still no Konechny. Voracek's out. This team's been a mess. We thought, and I still think the Flyers are a fine team, and I think, once again, they'll figure things out. But Corey Hart's been... Corey Hart. How about Carter Hart? Corey Hart would be singing Never... I don't wear my sunglasses at night back in the 80s. But he hasn't played well. Brian Elliott plays last night. Now, I know betting the Rangers was a little dangerous. The Panarin situation from earlier this week leaves some problems there with the Rangers. But they were at least sort of healthy. I did have the over in the game, so yay me. But the Rangers, they win when I don't want them to win. And they lose when I didn't think the Flyers had a chance last night. COVID has ravaged them. They haven't played all that much. This other team's got a lot of games to make up. Good team, but it's going to be tough, especially in this division. When you look at the division they play in, right? I mean, Boston, Washington, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Islanders. One of those teams is not going to make the playoffs. And those are five legitimate teams. They're five legitimate playoff teams. Islanders went to the conference finals last year. You know, they may not have the star power of the other teams, but one of these teams can't make it. And maybe it's going to be the Flyers, and it's going to be not because they're the worst of the five teams, but because the last 10, 14 days they've been ravaged. So I think the Flyers last night was a huge win. It was an ugly win, but it was a huge win for them to try and get them back on course.
George, when it comes to the Rangers, though, you mentioned it, this Panarin situation is very wild. I'm curious, though, how it impacts this team on the ice. Are they going to have to be an auto fade? Not only because I'm sure it's, distracting is the wrong word, but a little bit, puts them on tilt, but also that's their best player, if I'm not mistaken. How, do you now play the Rangers without Panarin?
Well, not only is he their best player, he's, conservatively top 10 player in the NHL. He is that good. All right, so it's a huge loss, and one that came out of nowhere. I mean, I joked during the break with you two. It's like the three of us got into a back room and said, let's write a little script here about a TV show or a movie we can write. Hockey player, famous hockey player who's big in Russia, who likes the opponent as far as political is concerned. All of a sudden he gets framed, or maybe gets framed. Whatever's going on here. So it's just, you can't make this stuff up. And it's a Hollywood story here. So as for the Rangers, now the Rangers are an interesting team. I'm of the belief that you give the Rangers a year, maybe two, when all this talent matures on this team. I mean, I'm not just talking about Panarin's and the great plays, but Kako, Lafreniere, the defensemen they've drafted, and the young defensemen they have on the team now. You give this team time, the goaltending, they're going to be the team to watch. You know, they're going to be the new Tampa Bay Lightning with up and down talent all over the place that might, you know, get 100 points regularly. But this year's not the year. They haven't imploded. I mean, they're 6-8-3. They're still in the playoff hunt here. But Panarin's on a leave of absence. How long is that leave of absence lasting? Are we talking a week? A month? I think you definitely fade the Rangers. We've all played sports. When your best player isn't playing and it's not an injury, a little different as an injury, but it's not an injury. He just, you know, he's not going to play with the team. And you're not playing well in the first place. This has to take a toll. Yeah, the Rangers for me are a definite fade.
Yeah, this is all around just a wild story. And the Rangers right now are 50-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Obviously, very long odds there. And then the favorites right now are the Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you like any of these teams emerging as potential Stanley Cup champs in terms of these odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Yeah, because the Colorado, we already talked about the Avs, right? They're in sixth place. They're going to make the playoffs. I would be shocked if they don't make the playoffs. But that's a tough division to come out of. Because remember, it's a weird playoff system this year in the NHL. All right, you're not going 1-8. You're not going to play the weakest wild card team. No, you're going to play the first place team plays the fourth place team in their division. 2 and 3 play each other. So let's say the Avs barely scratch in. They get in, but they're the fourth place team. Well, now you're playing Vegas first round. If this were to happen, in my mind, one of the top four teams in the NHL is going bye-bye. First round, bye-bye. Because I think Vegas might be the best overall team in the NHL. So that's a problem. That's a huge problem for one of the actually, it's a problem for both. Because I can guarantee you the Golden Knights will not be happy if they ended up having to face the Colorado Avalanche in round one. You know, and really the NHL doesn't want to see that either. They want the better teams to move on here. But this is a strange season in the NHL. I like the Vegas Golden Knights. I like them a lot. I think they are the best 1-20 team as far as the roster is concerned here. Now, they don't have the star of a sizzle power of the other top teams we might talk about. I mean, really, there's no one near close with Steven Stamkos to a Nathan McKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid. There's no one near close in this team. Max Pacioretty is probably their best offensive player. And really, you need to be an NHL fan to realize, oh, it's the ex-Canadian. Yeah, he used to be good years ago. That kind of guy. But they have three balanced lines. They can play any game you want. You want to play speed, they can do that. You want to fight, they can do that. They have the defense. Picking up Peter Angelo from St. Louis in the offseason with the big free agent addition. Huge move there. The defense is strong. The goaltending, I mean, in my mind, they might have the best 1-2 goaltending tandem in the league. You're talking Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury, who seems to be reinvigorated with the signing of Leonard long-term there. So I think the Vegas Golden Knights are a team that I look at to be that team that merely could win the Stanley Cup. But like I said, if they end up playing Colorado round one, that's devastating because one of the top four teams in the NHL will be going bye-bye right away.
George, I want to see if we can work together here a little bit. In our last segment, I said that Michigan, the Wolverines tonight hosting Iowa, could be a great first leg of a parlay. They are -240 on the money line here. I know you're always looking for a parlay partner. If we had to pick one squad, maybe two, who is your favorite kind of front end of a parlay option here on this NHL board?
Funny you should mention that because I'm looking for a parlay partner in the NHL. So, because I like Calgary tonight against Ottawa. Listen, it's Ottawa. We always like to pick against Ottawa. I know they won on Monday and they got the coach fired from Montreal. That's a whole completely different story there and a very controversial win on the goal there. But I like Calgary a lot tonight. They're playing well. This is a team. They're probably playing below their expectations. I mean, I know they're out of a playoff spot right now. They're 9-9-2, a .500 team. But, man, they got players there. Markstrom, the goaltender, maybe in tonight, maybe not. We don't know, but Rittich has played well. Rittich is a solid backup. He's not, you know, a great backup, but a solid number two you don't mind having here. Bottom line is Ottawa, not a good team. Calgary is my favorite play tonight as far as the NHL. I'm looking for a parlay partner as well.
+137, Calgary partner. And Michigan.
I'll write it down.
You got to throw them in at the beginning of your parlay.
I think it works.
All right, well, there are 10 games in the NHL on the board tonight. But nonetheless, the NHL continues to deal with COVID-19 issues, and we'll see how the season shakes out, continuing with everything, including all the major headlines. George will be with us coming up after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We also are joined by George Kurtz to talk a little more NHL before we switch over to the MLB. So, George, one other question for you. Any other good games that you're looking to play tonight?
Yeah, I think we have some good games. That's the problem. Because when we have good games, there's no obvious side to take here. I do like some totals. I like the Edmonton-Vancouver total. Vancouver choked a three. I really want to take Edmonton straight up. They have a team I'm leaning towards that parlay with Calgary. But Vancouver choked a three-goal lead against Edmonton the other night, and I wonder if they come out a little strong tonight. It's in Vancouver, but I think the total goes over. Really, when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, I'm always leaning towards the over. And another total I've been playing a lot this season would be the Islanders under. You know, they play to the under two-thirds of the time, but the Boston Bruins tonight are going to be without four – could be without. I shouldn't say they will be. Could be without four of their top six defensemen. Little tough to bet the under when that happens, even for an Islander team that doesn't put the puck in the net at all. They're a defensive team here, leaning that. And I'm also, if I don't have the guts to go with Edmonton over Vancouver, maybe this takes more guts, but actually, how about Nashville over Detroit as part of that parlay? Nashville did defeat Detroit 2-0 the other day. The only problem is we're talking the two worst teams in the Central Division here. And that's saying something because the Central Division is a bad division.
I like that, though. It'll be a good night on the ice, no doubt about it. But, George, we're also getting ready for Major League Baseball. And with that now, the FanDuel Sportsbook has opened up team win totals, that tab available in that Major League Baseball section there. And it's such an interesting market to play in. And that's just how I want to start, George. Do you find yourself playing in this win total market? And if so, how do you what's the strategy, if there is one, for when you're playing team win totals?
No, yeah, I play the win total market. I played a lot in football. Right? Mike Blewett and I did a whole shows to doing this. Now, there's two things here. Maybe you don't like having your money tied up all year. You know, because let's face it, you're going to bet now, you're going to bet March, whatever it might be, and you're not going to get paid off until October. You know, so it's a long time to have a certain amount of money tied up. So if you only have a certain bankroll, maybe you don't want to do this. Or you may have a very small percentage of your bankroll. So just keep that in mind there. But yes, I like to play it. Now, here's another thing that I'm going to bring up here. When it comes to this, I wonder. Right now we're March 25th, right? Spring training games are starting Sunday. I think the rules are going to change. All right? I know right now they have an agreement. The rules are going back to what it was in 2019. There'll be no DH, and they're not going to have expanded playoffs. All right? The union and the owners are fighting. And by the way, it's going to get worse. You want something I'll bet on right now? Next year, there'll be nowhere near 162 games. I don't know if there'll be any games next year. These two sides are going to fight. But I bring this up because of this reason. I think, although right now they've agreed, 2019 rules, eventually, I think before opening day, sort of like last season, they're going to agree to put the DH in this year and to get those expanded playoffs. And because then they can do this at any time. Oh, they have an agreement. No, they can open that up whenever they want. The union doesn't want to do it right now because they think that, well, teams won't spend money. And it makes some sense here because, hey, would a mid-market team go, why should I spend money on, you know, $10 million on this second baseman when I'm going to make the playoffs anyway? You know, so that's why the union doesn't want it. So right now it is still five teams in each league make the playoffs. But there's going to come a point in time where the union is going to be like, you know what? We'll give them their expanded playoffs. We'll take the $80 million they're going to give us for that. Yeah, you know, we'll get our DH. You know, and we'll take it for this year. This comes to a point where you take the money, you take whatever you can get. So I think it's going to happen eventually. And how that affects our future win totals is this: once again, teams are going to know mid-August, early September, assuming we have a regular normal season, all right, we're going to make the playoffs. There's no advantage to going nuts to try and get first overall, first place in the division. You're still playing the eighth-seeded team. You're not getting anything other than one extra home game that could calm teams down. Now we're going to set up for the playoffs and not go for wins. You know, we don't care about winning 100 games and winning 99 games. So I'd be very careful there. I know I'm going to be more careful than normal this season because, as I say, I think this is going to happen. I'm of that belief. If you think I'm wrong, well, hey, you got nothing to worry about. Bet how you normally would, but I think this is going to happen. Where they're going to expand these playoffs. They're going to get the DH, which means nothing for this. But I think this is going to happen. And once again, I think this will affect win totals. It'll bring it down a little bit. Not immensely, but a little bit. But as we all know, two or three wins can cost you an over total here. So I'm going to play it a little more cautious.
And for, let's say, new bettors looking to place bets into the win totals, do you suggest they go for the obvious teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, or do you go for some sleeper picks, kind of those in the middle of the pack that might be able to, you know, hit one or two games over their overs?
I'm going to look at, you know, it depends on what you do. We like the bad teams? Do you want to go the bad teams under? There are a lot of bad teams in Major League Baseball. Or do we like going for the good teams over? I mean, look at the Dodgers over. It's 103.5. My God. Yeah, I know they're a great team. Back it used to be 90. You know, high 90s was a great season. Now we want them to get 104 wins. I mean, I'm very thankful that the San Diego Padres have done all they've done because they'll push the Dodgers where maybe they do get to that total. Ordinarily, I'd bet that under. I'll take my chance they can't win 103.5, that they won't need to, and they'll take their foot off the gas. Because 101 wins, and like I said, a normal season gets you the number one seed, you're fine. You don't need to win 104. There's no point to it. You know, so you set things up. You take it easy on Kershaw. You take it easy on Buehler. So, but the fact that the Padres have done all they've done, added Snell, added Darvish, trade for this guy, trade for that guy, let's sign Tatis to a $500 million contract. We'll push the Dodgers to keep trying to play here, make sure they get that number one spot here. That being said, I'm going to be looking at the divisions that are bad. And the central divisions in both leagues are the weaker divisions by far. I think those are where you want to attack, the mid-tier teams. Maybe you want to go with the Cardinals over. Maybe you want to go with the Pirates under. Those, because they're going to play a lot of bad teams. The Pirates are the bad team. But in both divisions, I mean, really, there's no ace team in either division of the Central. People like the Chicago White Sox, I think they're a little maybe 1 year ahead of schedule here. I don't think they're going to do anything big here. But I'm going to be attacking the Central division just as far as this category quite a bit.
And let me ask you, though, also, because you bring up some of those bad teams, and I think they're fascinating when it comes to the win totals, George, because you need so much less. Like, I love for those that are joining us here on our streaming platforms with the video to post a Dodgers win total and then switch the graphic to where the Pirates win total is, which is almost 50 games apart. I mean, it's just, it doesn't even feel real. But I know last year the Orioles had cashed their total to the over. I think the Tigers might have as well. I'm pretty sure the Royals did. I know 60-game season, things were way, way different. But can there be some value, George, on taking those terrible teams to just be a little bit above terrible?
Once again, I think you put it perfectly, though. Last year, the weird kind of year. We see bad teams quite often. Oh, they'll go into a little winning streak in April, and they look better than they actually are. But the long season when it plays out, you're bad, and you're going to pay for it. Now, we've also seen, and this is all sports, by the way, not just baseball, but we're seeing this in all sports, and it's really for the detriment of the game here. But you either want to be competing for your championship, or you want to suck. You know, you don't want to be in between. So I think these three bad teams, I don't think the owners want anything to do with winning here. For the three low teams you just saw here, Baltimore, Colorado, certainly not Pittsburgh, right? They keep trading everybody away. I mean, really, you got to be a baseball fan to name five Pittsburgh Pirate players right now, active players. I mean, really, you have to really think about it. That's how bad a team they are. Baltimore Orioles, they're going to get crushed in the American League East. I mean, Blue Jays are a good team. Yankees are a good team. Rays are good. Red Sox, I don't know if I'd say they're good, but they're a hell of a lot better than the Orioles. And I don't think they want to win. They want to be bad because you need to be bad, get those high draft picks, and move on from there. It's going to be a big point of contention in the new CBA in baseball. I keep bringing this up because the union knows this, that the bad teams aren't spending any money. No money, zero, zilch. They're trying to get rid of money over and over again because they want to finish low. So I think these teams have all the incentive on the planet to lose games, not win. So I'm going to be hitting them low. Rockies, you actually paid to trade away Arenado. What are we doing here? Really, what are we doing here? So, no, I think these bad teams want to be bad. I don't know if I won't hit all three. You know, I won't. But I think the Orioles are going to be terrible. Pittsburgh, I think, even in the bad Central Division, I think they're going to be pathetic too. So I'll be hitting the unders on two of three. I might leave the Rockies alone.
Okay.
And, George, I know you've talked about issues that are going to be pertaining to the playoffs and potentially a DH, but how much do you factor in COVID-19 issues that might arise, especially towards – maybe the beginning of the season more so than the end of the season?
I mean, it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. I don't know if I can factor it in. We don't know who it's going to hit, you know, how bad it's going to be. I mean, last year it hit the Marlins, hit the Cardinals, and teams who weren't even involved in COVID got crushed because of it, Phillies, Yankees. You know, it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be as bad as the NHL. I don't think it'll be as bad as the NHL. I mean, it depends on who you believe and what's true and what's not true. And I'm certainly not a scientist or a doctor or anything else. But they think now that one of the reasons why it's been so bad in the NHL is that it's worse indoors. You know, it makes some sense here. The virus has nowhere to go. But then why hasn't the NBA been crushed of late? They play indoors, yet they're okay. You know, certainly better than the NHL has done here. Is there more physical contact than the NHL? Maybe. There's very little physical contact in baseball. But I think it'd be silly to think we're going to get through 6 months of baseball and not have a team shut down for a week, shut down for 2 weeks, maybe multiple teams at times. How are they going to make these games up? You know, are they going to make the games up? Which, by the way, if they don't make the games up, sort of makes your future bet null and void, right? So, absolutely, I mean, it's going to happen. You know, we deal with it when it happens. I can't think about it. Well, okay, well, I think the Pittsburgh Pirates in week three are going to – I don't know. Nobody knows. Yeah, it's what we're going to have right. to deal with. There's nothing we can do about it.
George, also the other futures market that, you know, is starting to open up here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the awards market, where Jacob deGrom is the favorite to win the National League Cy Young at plus 380. Yesterday, Steve Gelbs, who does a great job covering the New York Mets for SNY, talked to us a little bit about Jacob deGrom. I want to listen to that and get your reaction on the other side. Here's what Gelbs had to say yesterday about Jacob deGrom, who's already impressing.
Really do believe that he would have won it again last year if it was a full 162. You know, the finishing kick that we've seen from this guy over the last couple of full seasons is just absurd. What it seems like to me is that he just continues to get better. I mean, that was the big thing last year, is that his velocity kept ticking up and he was consistently hitting triple digits. That's not the type of guy that he was when he first came up. But it's remarkable to see the type of numbers that DeGrom is putting up now over the last, you know, three full seasons, essentially. I don't remember the exact statistics, but it's like, you know, his ERA over the last three seasons is like a half run better or a quarter run better than number two. I mean, it's DeGrom and everyone else.
I mean, you hear him say it there, George. DeGrom and everybody else. In the, you know, odds here, he's plus 380. The next is Bauer at 7-1, and then it's Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler at 10-1. Do you play it in the awards markets, and what do you think about the favorite, Jacob deGrom, who's trying to win another NL Cy Young?
You know, I'm that guy, whenever you ask me about the awards, I'll say, I don't care about the awards, you know, MVP, Cy Young, and all those. And I don't, except when it comes to betting. That's something different. I don't care about who wins these awards, really, unless I have a bet on them, because I think it's all political or a joke anyway. Gelbs is right. It is deGrom and everybody else. He is a step above everybody else. That being said, this is another weird year. Remember, only 60 games played last season. We all know how these teams, or certain teams, like to baby their pitchers, right? Because they're worried about too much stress on the arm to show they don't want to blow these arms out. Are they going deep into games this year? Oh, I don't know. I don't know how each organization thinks here. Five innings, six innings, 100 pitches, 90 pitches. Is it going to take months before they let these guys build up and really go for it? Listen, I think DeGrom is the guy you want here. If you want to play the favorite, you want the chalk, take DeGrom. Bauer, Buehler, Kershaw, Scherzer, Flaherty. There are guys I can go on and on with. DeGrom is absolutely your first choice.
Yep, and George, thank you so much for joining us today, giving your insight into the NHL and your insight, of course, into the MLB. We always love having you on. But for those looking to find the team win totals, they are posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now for the MLB. You can bet on them right now. Make your futures pick there, and also MLB player futures are also on the board. Coming up next, we'll see you after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Now, some J.J. Watt news has now broken, and Kevin's going to read some tweets that have been posted.
Yeah, so J.J. Watt, obviously, a big name on the market. The only guy that we've seen have odds where he will go next. That's not a quarterback. It speaks to the name recognition. Yesterday, Andrew Filippone tweeted out that John Clayton, legendary NFL reporter, has said that J.J. won't be going to the Pittsburgh Steelers and that it is going to be either the Tennessee Titans, the Green Bay Packers, and the Buffalo Bills as the three teams, with the Vegas Raiders as a potential dark horse. Aaron, this is a big shift from what we had heard with the Cleveland Browns moving to the favorite. We'd noticed that those odds have been removed from the FanDuel Sportsbook, although the whole player futures market has been removed, so possibly kind of some, you know, moving things around there with those odds that were available in Colorado. Would be fascinating to see where they would post those. And then this morning, that report is now followed by Diana Russini, does an excellent job over at ESPN covering the NFL, has followed it up by saying J.J. Watt has received several offers from teams. The best offer he has received right now is between 15 and 16 million per year, per her sources. J.J. Watt looks like he is going to get paid. We thought he might be taking this friendly discount to Aaron, get himself like play with his brother. No, no, no. J.J. is looking for a bag, and it looks like he's going to get one.
Yeah, and I'm honestly surprised by those numbers. I mean, yes, he's three-time defensive player of the year and whatnot, but that was years and years ago. So we were thinking potentially, like we thought, you know, just going for fun. But it seems here he's really going, as you said, for the bag and doesn't care if it's just, you know, family ties. He's willing to play for whoever wants him. And if someone's willing to pay him that much, why not go there?
Yeah, right now, if I had to guess, Tennessee Titans would be my guess.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he'd pair well with that team for sure. All right, we'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern, here on the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.